All right, that's it. Your 4th of July weekend is now officially over. Get up, sleepyhead. Time to get after it. Welcome to Richmond's Morning News. Today is Monday, July 7th. Gary Hess back from his 4th of July.
But I don't want my 4th of July weekend to be over.
I had a great 4th of July weekend. How was yours?
It was great. It was deliciously uneventful, other than the fact that I had a tea time yesterday afternoon that the storms caused us to decide to bag on. So
I had an amazing 4th of July weekend. 4th of July, I didn't do anything. I tried to go to the Richmond Squirrels, Flying Squirrels, couldn't get in. It was so packed, they shut the off-ramps down. You couldn't get there. Packed. People were just sitting on the side of the road watching the fireworks. Couldn't even get near the ballpark. Stuck in traffic for like 45 minutes. Finally, I bagged it and said, maybe I shouldn't have gone to have a nice dinner beforehand and should have gone there early like everybody else who was saying. And then Herrera shows up half hour beforehand thinking he's going to waltz in, and that didn't work out. But the fireworks show they had was pretty spectacular.
Well, I should have given you some insight on that.
Yes, shame on Gary Hess for not telling
me. You didn't tell me you were going to try to go to the Diamond for fireworks.
Yeah, we tried to go in. My son got to town on 4th of July, about 3:30, 4 o'clock. And it was great. It was great to catch back up with him. It's a little weird since I've been away from my family since March. So it's been like 4 months. So I'm used to just sitting eating dinner by myself, not having anybody around. So it's been nice having him. And then we've done the beginning of our road trip to see everything we can in Virginia in a week.
The Virginia Historical Tour.
Yes, yes. So we went to Saturday the 5th. We got up. We went to Wawa's because there's not Wawa's out west. So we went to Wawa's. Then we drove up to Mount Vernon, and that was incredible.
Rickney, the first thing you got to see is Wawa.
So we went to Wawa's. We went to Mount Vernon. And then on the way back, we stopped and we got about an hour's worth of time at the Marine Corps Museum in Quantico. Came back and had dinner. Then the next day we got up, we went to Monticello. We stopped in Charlottesville first because he's a Beta Theta Pi, so we wanted to see their fraternity house. So we drove by and looked at that, and then we went up to Monticello, and that was incredible. It's just gorgeous, just breathtakingly gorgeous, both Mount Vernon and Monticello. So we did the tours through there, and then he said he had never been to a Buc-ee's. And you all know what a big fan of Buc-ee's
yes.
I am, so we
yeah.
road tripped to Buc-ee's. And that was crazy, Gary. 25 minutes to get, just once you get to the off-ramp, 25 minutes from the off-ramp to the parking lot.
Dan, I told him off the air, I said, Buc-ee's is like convenience store meets amusement park.
It's incredible. And I've been to Buc-ee's before. Like, you know, I've been through the Buc-ee's through Texas and Tennessee, and we stopped at every one of the way
where
here.
There's not a line because it's not like it's old hat there now.
Well, know? I mean, they're busy.
Yeah.
They're busy, but not like this.
Right.
This was like.
Well, you know, the new car smell isn't gone yet.
So. Oh, my gosh.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was like the mayhem that you have on Black Friday where they open the doors and people go running in. Dan, like, there's $2 televisions, but they're in the back, and right. You have to trample and run and push and kick and scream. It was that type of energy and
wow.
just a mash of people. The second they put a sandwich out, people are, like, grabbing it. The only difference is everybody there was nice.
Well, that's
like,
good.
You
yeah.
walk in, and they go, you walk in the front door, and they go, welcome to, you know, all the employees, when you first walk in, if they're near the front door, they scream. Welcome to Buc-ee's.
How about that? Well, yeah, I'll have to make my way over, get a pilgrimage in, and go visit it.
When they have the brisket that they're chopping up for the sandwiches, and they put a fresh brisket on the board, the one pit master yells, brisket on the board, and then all the people working there yell, brisket on the board, and Buc-ee came out, the little mascot, you know, dressed up, you know, like Mickey Mouse type of mascot came out, and it was crazy. It was crazy. I mean, people are grabbing sandwiches like they're, you know, they're bars of gold, which they're delicious.
Brisket is high quality there, really good.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was incredible. So I went shopping and I got some Bucky flip flops and Bucky swim trunks and Bucky's cup for my cousin Mike who wanted one. And Riggs got
somebody
some
wants
stuff.
A Bucky sponsorship here, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Get in touch with one of our account executives.
Cray, cray. So we did all of that. And then we drove by Woodrow Wilson's museum. It was already closed, but I don't know if we'd want to go in anyway.
Exactly.
But we did all of that. And then today we're going shooting at Green Top. We're going to have lunch with or dinner with my cousins who live here. My wife's cousins who live here. My cousins. I've adopted them more than she has. I see them more than she does. She hasn't gotten here yet. And then we did go by the Virginia War Memorial. He wants to go to the American Civil War Museum tomorrow.
Yeah, Tredegar.
Yeah, okay. Then we're going to go into the War Memorial. We saw the Hill of Heroes. We're reminding everybody to get your picture taken and post on social media for 4th of July and remember all those who gave their lives in defense of this great country. Go by the Virginia War Memorial, hashtag Hill of Heroes. So we did that. And then Wednesday, we're going to go up to the Navy Museum in D.C. And then Thursday, we're going to go on a White House tour. We're going to go on a tour of Congress. We're going to go to Forge Theater. So we're going to see three quarters of Mount Rushmore, something, you know, a direct historical piece of three of the four presidents on Mount Rushmore.
When you brought up the American Civil War Museum, I believe that it has a sister location out in the Appomattox area near where
Lee Appomattox and Grant. Courthouse.
Yeah.
He asked, why do we have towns named after courthouses? Because there's Appomattox Courthouse.
I don't have a good answer for
and then there's that. There's another courthouse. So we have towns named after courthouses. He thought that was interesting.
May have been just that was the
yeah. So anyway,
that was the Buckies of its time.
That was the Buckies of its time.
25-minute lines to get into the courthouse and say, this is where the magic happens.
Mitchell in North Chesterfield said, Rich, Buckies was crazy this weekend. Lines around everything, everywhere. 100%, Mitchell. I might have been there. Now, I was very polite. I didn't honk. I did get mad at one guy who cut me off and then laughed at me. And then so I honked at him on the freeway. But other than that, I behaved myself. All right, let's get to our top five. Do I have time for our top five? I can do it real quick.
Yeah.
Let's get to the top five real quick.
And now, five things you need to know. Number one.
Sorry, I started going down that rabbit hole. Number one thing we're going to keep an eye on, Texas still reeling over the Kerrville flood that's claimed over 80 lives. More rain is going to hit them today. They had a wall of water that was 30 feet high. Think about that. 30 feet high. That's as high as a flagpole. Just came rushing through there. We'll keep an eye on that. More rain on his way. Gary is keeping an eye on that. We'll have that in our headlines all day long. Number two. The big, beautiful bill gets to Donald J. Trump, signs it on the 4th of July. He's celebrating Congress. Stu's Democrats ready to hold his feet to the fire to see if this is going to work. The GOP needs to defend it. Mike Emanuel from Fox News joins us at 8:05. We're going to talk about that. What is in the big, beautiful bill and how did Mike Johnson get it across the finish line?
Number three.
Okay, coming up at 8:35, we're going to talk about the new article in the Richmonder that is going to make you roll your eyes, Richmond being Richmond, and it's going to have everybody in town talking about it. There is no transparency in the firing of the inspector general. We've been talking about this for a while. Richmonder goes in depth and says, no, they're clinic claim. This is all an HR thing. We won't know what happened. And again, if you want to know why people have a little faith in the Richmond city government, we'll talk about that coming up at 8:35 today.
Number four.
Bibi Netanyahu coming to the White House. Israel was in Qatar over the weekend, talking about ceasefires in their negotiations. The Qataris have been the conduit back and forth in their fight against Hamas. Donald Trump says we'll get some of the hostages back this weekend. Meanwhile, Russia is getting even more aggressive after a frustrating phone call between the president and Vladimir Putin. Don't forget, coming up this week, of course, we'll talk to Governor Jim Gilmore. He'll give us the latest from the diplomacy side of what's going on as Donald Trump tries to end two conflicts in the world, one in the Gaza Strip, the other in Ukraine.
Number five.
And finally, Joey Chestnut is back with a vengeance. Dan, he scarfed down 70 hot dogs on the 4th of July in 10 minutes. 7 hot dogs a minute for 10 minutes straight.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
What's his record?
If 76.
Not, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, 70 sounds low for him, but yeah.
Well, he was gone for a year.
Yeah, he needs to work himself back up.
Yeah, 76 hot dogs. He tried to go for 77. He goes, sorry, I let you down. I'll do it again next year. Of course, he missed last year because he got in a dispute because he started working with a...
It was a sponsorship, right, issue?
Yeah, he started working with the Beyond Fake Meat people.
Gross. That put off Big Hot Dog.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's the funniest thing you've ever said to me. Joey Chestnut fighting against Big Hot Dog. Big Hot Dog wins. He comes back to heel, and he crushes it. 70 hot dogs.
Wow.
Yeah, that's something. Okay, coming up on the program, what are we going to do? Mindset Monday coming up next. Dr. Jake joins us every Monday. Everybody except one guy loves Mindset Monday. I one text message. I hate Mindset Monday. Well, reset your mind. Think about this. So, Dan, when is a loss not a loss? How can you win from a loss? We'll talk about that Mindset Monday with Dr. Jake. That comes up. We have news, traffic, and weather coming up. And Mike Emanuel is going to join us at 8:05. We have a lot to get to this morning. It's the day after the 4th of July weekend. Get up, get after it. This is Richmond's Morning News on News Radio WRVA.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera on News Radio WRVA.
What can you learn from failure? What can you learn from a loss? A lot of times people fear losing, so much so that it keeps them from trying to win. On Mindset Mondays, we sit down with my friend Dr. Jake, and we talk about how to have a great mindset and rethink things that normally keep you at bay. Mindset Monday with Dr. Jake is coming up right after Gary gives you an update on what's going on with the Texas floods. All that right here on News Radio WRVA. All right, everybody, time to kick off Monday. It's after the 4th of July weekend. I know you don't want to get back to work. I do. I actually like what I do. But in order to get you going with a good mindset, let's turn to Dr. Jake. Jake Fritterfrock joining us right now, PhD executive coach. He joins us every Monday as we have Mindset Monday. Sir, good morning. Happy post-4th of July to you.
Yeah, good morning, Rich. It's good to be here with you today.
All right. Let's talk about something. We talked about failure last time. I was just watching baseball this weekend. Best baseball player in the world will fail 7 out of 10 times, and he will get to be an all-star coming up in a couple weeks. You know, we talk so much about failure, but you and I were chatting the other day about a different way to look at failure. It just gives you another opportunity to get up to the plate and swing. It's either win or fail, or you taught me something about winning or using those opportunities to learn. Go down that rabbit hole with me.
Yeah, right. So this just kind of comes from the concept of reframing failure as an opportunity to learn. So a reframe would be a different perspective, a different way to look at something so that we can actually extract benefit from that experience. So you talk about baseball or, you know, even some of the greats in other sports. Oftentimes they're failing more than they're succeeding.
Right. So how do I take that challenge, that setback, that failure that cripples me and learn from it so the next time I face that situation, I have an opportunity to see what pitch is coming and hit it out of the ballpark?
Right. So in life, right, it's a little bit different because we're keeping track of our own failures and successes. So it's
Let me stop you right there. Do we keep track of that more than others?
Yeah.
Because I own that. Every time I have a bad show, I wear it for a couple days.
Right. And generally, this is a concept called the spotlight effect. We kind of feel like we're in everybody's spotlight, but everybody else feels like they're in their own spotlight. So oftentimes we make our failures greater than they actually are, just in our own perspective. So the idea here would be to reframe that as an opportunity to learn. We talked about sports. Ice hockey was a sport that I played growing up. And Wayne Gretzky, it was, you know, for many years, the greatest goal scorer ever. He made 17.6% of his shot attempts.
Wait a second. Let's make sure we get this correctly. The great one, Wayne Gretzky. He only succeeded how many? 17% of the time?
17.6% of his shots were goals.
And he's the great one. So if you're a sales rep, and I always say that it's the toughest job in the world because you're going to get shut down like 99% of the time. And it's hard. I was told when I worked in sales, every no that you gets you one closer to that yes. But it's awfully tough when you just get turned down time after time after time. It gets to you.
Right. And so that, you know, we're talking about reframes, Rich. If we can reframe that to either win, which means I get the sale, or, you know, I get whatever else I'm striving for, or I learn. It's an opportunity to then adjust my approach or just get up and take another shot. You know, one of the quotes that Gretzky is famous for saying is he never scored a goal on a shot that he didn't take. So you've got to take the shots in order to get that percentage. And just recently, Alex Ovechkin set the all-time goal scoring record. His actual percentage is less than Gretzky's. He scored a goal on 13.1% of his shots.
So 87% of the time he failed.
That's right. That's right. Or he learned, right?
Like, or he learned.
Take a different approach.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me say that again. My first thought is Alex Ovechkin, Ovi, all-time goal scorer. Wow. You know what? 87% of the time he failed. Or I changed that mindset to Alex Ovechkin. 87% of the time he took a shot, didn't make it. He took that as a learning experience to make his next shot better.
There you go. That's right.
Wow. Give me some real life examples of how you could do that. Obviously, we did sales. We could talk about our radio shows. We go back, we listen to it, we evaluate it. It's hard, though, to take constructive criticism. It's hard to admit that you failed. It's hard to sit there and think about what I could have done and not get frustrated. And then sometimes when you get frustrated, you also get very insecure, which makes you close yourself off and you're not ready to listen to constructive criticism.
Right. You know, one of the simplest examples that I can think of here is a student who's taking a test, and maybe you're not even a student, maybe you're in a trade and you're trying to upskill or uplevel, and you have to reach a certain percentage, or you're taking your driver's test at the DMV, right?
Right.
And oftentimes, if we get, let's say, a 96%, we ruminate, or we allow that 4% that we missed to keep rattling around in our mind because we haven't attained perfection. But when the reality is we're doing much better than Alex Ovechkin by getting that 90% or 96%, right?
Right.
And so the idea here would be when we're learning something, to give ourselves the grace that there's going to be failures that come our way as we're improving, and not to take a couple of failures, whether it's upskilling ourselves at work, learning a new trade, learning how to drive, like I mentioned, and go, okay, this is an opportunity for me to learn and grow through what we maybe think of as failure, and not really let it get us down and depressed because we made a mistake.
You and I are both dads, and we got about 90 seconds here. You and I are both dads. Explain how we can bring that mindset to our kids, that today's kids beat themselves up more than any other generation I think we've ever seen because of social media. They expect everything to be perfect. They expect to be Kylie Jenner. They expect to be Instagram models. Explain to me how you could talk to your kids about failure is okay. You can learn from it, and actually it's a benefit.
Yeah, well, really just it's exactly what you just said, Rich. You know, this is a part of the growth process, is failing oftentimes more than we succeed in the beginning as we're learning a new skill or learning to, as we're growing, right? So just helping our kids understand that and not to beat themselves up. I recently had a session with my 14-year-old soccer team. They had qualified for the national tournament. And we were just talking about mindset. And I asked the boys, hey, what do you say to yourself when you miss a shot? And Rich, it was so sad to hear all of the negative things that they piled on themselves. They evaluated themselves and they spoke really harshly to themselves.
They're living in the past.
Yeah, exactly. And that's coloring their ability to learn and grow. So we want to take that away and just really reframe this as, hey, it's okay. Dust yourself off, get back up, we'll try again, and we'll learn in that process as we keep going, keep attempting.
How about this? Hey, listen, what'd you do on that shot? All right, you missed it to the left. What can you do next time to improve your opportunity, improve your chances? I can go more to the right.
Beautiful.
Wow. Beautiful. I might be a World Cup coach if I could do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, when my son misses a shot and he's down about it because it could have been the game winner, we're in the car on the way home and he's expressing kind of some sadness and remorse, I just say, hey, just replay that in your mind a few times and picture yourself scoring. And the next time you're in that opportunity, you'll have the chance to sort of redeem yourself.
There you go. It's Mindset Monday with Dr. Jake. He joins us every Monday, giving us an opportunity to start our Mondays with the best mental attitude. It's Mindset Monday here on News Radio WRVA. All right, we have more coming up here on the program. Again, there's some out there, and I get the feedback, there's some out there, I don't want to hear this. That's okay. I'm going to put the wall down a little bit, and is America right now struggles with mental health? Let's be honest. There are so many people out there that are hurting right now, that are frustrated right now, that just seem like they can't get anything right. A lot of that, especially if you're younger, some of our older audience members are like, this is a bunch of gobbledygook. That's great. Different generations, different mindsets. If you have kids and you see your kids right now, let me ask you this. How depressed are your kids, your grandkids? How depressed are they because they think that they can't do anything right? How depressed are they because you think that everything is perfect in everyone else's life because they live life like Instagram. On Instagram, they're going to show you, everybody showed you all the great things I do. Oh, look at this great dinner I had. Look at this. Look at that. They don't show you any of the bad stuff. And right now, we have a generation of kids. So if it's not for you, I get it. But if it's for your kids or for your grandkids, you have to understand there is a generation, our next generation, our millennials. And you see how depressed and unhappy our millennials are. And I'm going to tell you this, the Gen Z right behind them were even worse because they look at everybody on television. They look at the Kardashians and they look at all these people that have all these wonderful things. They go, why not me? It's because they live in this bubble, this fantasy land of social media, of TikTok, where everything's perfect and nobody ever has to go to work and nobody gets fired and nobody has to work overtime. Nobody has to deal with anything. And they want to live like they're a television star, like an Instagram model. And in reality, nobody lives that lifestyle. Nobody lives that lifestyle of Jeff Bezos except for Jeff Bezos. And there's so many of them out there that just have the mindset, like, I don't want to fail, and nobody else fails. I never see anybody fail on Instagram. Well, Instagram, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, none of that's real. None of that's real. So this is a way for us to help understand what these younger generations are going through. And if you open up your mind a little bit, it can help you as well. I'm telling you, give it a chance. Give it a chance. That's what we're doing here on this Mindset Monday. All right, coming up on the program, we're going to give you the best of the Sunday shows. And it's time to start talking about the gubernatorial election here in Virginia. All that coming up in the next hour here on News Radio WRVA.
Hey, it's Jeff Katz, and I just wanted to remind you, you need to listen to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera every morning. Make sure you're there. It starts at 6. I'll see you.
All right, don't forget, Jeff Katz takes you home on this Monday, July 7th. Interesting comments. So when we do Mindset Monday, because it's something brand new, a lot of negative Nellies. Oh, I don't want to hear this. I'm mentally tough. It kind of is interesting because it lines up generational. If you're Gen X, Millennial, Gen Z, you kind of get it. If you're older than that, you don't. So here's a text message I got from my friend Dave. Rich, to set your mind on Monday, more failures. Come on, practice makes perfection. It's not failure. Work harder makes better. It's not about failure. I would agree with you, Dave, because I'm of the age that I know what it's like to fail. I know what it's like to strike out with the bases loaded. I know what it's like to not pass a class. I know what it's like to stand there and watch someone else awarded a certificate. Now think about your kids, your grandkids. If your grandkids will come along right now, how many of them have ever failed in their life? Never. We don't set our kids up for failure. Everyone gets a trophy. Everyone gets a medal. Everyone gets their certificate. Everyone's special. They don't know what it's like to fail. And when they do fail, they are not able to cope with it because we put them in a bubble. We've wrapped them up in bubble wrap, and we've kept them from feeling any pain of what it's like to fail. And now they're adults. They have no idea how to deal with setbacks. That's what we do Mindset Monday for. Coming up on the program, we'll give you the best of the Sunday shows. That's next here on News Radio WRVA. All right, it's time for the best of the Sunday shows on Sunday. The Democrats and Republicans, they send out their surrogates to talk about what's big coming up in the week in Washington and D.C. and through state capitals throughout the country. So here's the best of the Sunday shows. Let's start with Meet the Press. Bob Costas went on NBC to talk about politics and sports.
Politics is a part of sports.
Yes.
Sports is a part of politics. Does it concern you that we are seeing, in some instances, politics infused in sports?
I think that politics inevitably has intersected with sports. Anyone who says that politics has no place in sports has to be abysmally unaware of the history here.
That's Bob Costas, probably one of the greatest sportscasters of all time. Also, one of the folks that really infused politics into modern sports more so than anybody else with some of his commentaries. And again, I come from a sports background. The one thing I'll disagree with Bob is that when you talk about politics and sports, it is 100% one-sided. As a conservative voice in sports, you were told you were not allowed to talk about those things. As a liberal voice in sports all day long, if you notice, when you look at the four-letter network, ESPN, now I never worked at ESPN, I worked at CBS, I worked at Fox nationally, but if you look at just ESPN, they're the mothership, as Dan Patrick will call them, you'll see the Jemele Hills and you'll see the folks who work over there, very, very liberal slant. How many conservatives do you see over there? Not many, and if you do, mainly they get pushed aside. So for Bob Costas to talk about politics and sports, yes, but I think you also have to acknowledge, Mr. Costas, that it is one-sided. And the voices that you have speaking up about politics and sports, USA Today, ESPN, a lot of the others, lean towards the left. Those that lean towards the right aren't really long for this world. That's why I'm working in news talk right now and not sports anymore. That was Meet the Press. Now, on ABC, with George Stephanopoulos hoping, they talked about the big, beautiful bill. Chris Christie goes on this week on ABC to talk about Donald Trump's legislation that he signs on the 4th of July.
This is a great couple of weeks for the president in terms of what he wants to accomplish. Short-term wins, I'm sure we'll get to it. Long-term concerns, though, there are real storm clouds over the horizon, I think.
What are the long-term concerns?
The long-term concerns are the Medicaid changes that he's put into place give the Democrats a message when they didn't have one. They've been scrambling around trying to find a message. Now they got one, and he handed it to them. And we'll see how effective it's going to be. I think it can be very effective.
Chris Christie, I don't know why Chris Christie would go on television as a surrogate. Why would you choose Chris Christie, who is so out of touch with the Republican Party that I just don't get it, other than it's a great talking point for Stephanopoulos. He does bring to, something to the table, though, that the Democrats are going to use the cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, that take folks that are here illegally off of their rolls, also those that are able-bodied off of their rolls. And we talked to somebody who was a lobbyist, was about a week ago, about the Big Beautiful Bill and the danger to the Big Beautiful Bill to rural American hospitals is when you take those off, you reduce the amount of dollars that come into the hospital systems by taking the waste, fraud, corruption out. That money was that money would help to pay for and bolster the entire system. So less patients, less money means that rural hospitals are at risk. Now, they did put dollars against trying to offset those taken off the rolls, and we'll see whether that balances out or not. But Chris Christie is correct that if rural America loses some medical care, as the Democrats are going to hammer the Republicans over the head on the Big Beautiful Bill. Here's Donna Brazile talking about its effect in health care.
This is really going to be the belly of the to continue to focus on this health care. have consequences. Chris, you're absolutely right. Democrats should continue to focus on this health care. This is really going to be the belly of the beast when it comes to what this bill will do to our country.
That's Donna Brazile on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Meanwhile, on Face the Nation, Kevin Hassett gave the Republican response to the effects of the big, beautiful bill.
And the headline is going to be that countries are agreeing around the world to open their markets up to our products and to allow us to put some kind of tariff on their products when they come into the U.S. And exactly what the numbers will be things that you'll find out in the news this week.
And as Gary's been saying, the reset for the big, beautiful bill, or excuse me, for the tariffs, will be this week on August 1st. Can Donald Trump bring in more trade deals by then, or will the letters go out? And again, remember, these are reciprocal tariffs. There's also some snapback to it. So if he opposes 25% tariff on countries that haven't gotten a trade deal, they can always be negotiated, but you have to have a hard deadline. Otherwise, they keep stringing this thing out. Meanwhile, Tom Suozzi, Democrat from Long Island, talked about the big, beautiful bill on Face the Nation.
You just heard from Kevin Hassett. You know, like President Trump, he said without this bill, it would be one of the greatest tax hikes for the American public. They say it is the greatest tax cut in American history. You sit on the Ways and Means Committee, so I have to wonder how you describe it.
I describe it as the big ugly bill, not the big beautiful bill. It's going to do a lot of things that are going to hurt a lot of people in our country. The biggest one, which you talked about with Mr. Hassett, is increase the deficit enormously in the country. And what that does is that creates inflation, that keeps interest rates high, that makes it hard for people to buy homes, makes it hard for them to borrow money to do the things that they want to do.
So that's the talking points of the Democrat big ugly bill. It's going to ruin the economy. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. And the Republicans are going to have to go out there and defend it. Now, on the other side, Democrats are having to defend which direction their party is going on. Here's Suozzi one more time talking about Mondani, who's the mayoral candidate on the Democratic side in New York. And can the Democrats stay aligned with him, or is he out of touch with the Democratic Party of 2025?
Congressman, I want to turn to an op-ed that you wrote in the Wall Street Journal last week saying Zohran Mamdani's win in the New York City's Democratic mayoral primary should be a, quote, loud wake-up call for Democrats. What lessons do you think your party can learn from his campaign?
But you have to recognize that he tapped into something. He tapped into the same thing that Donald Trump tapped into, which is that people are concerned that the economy is not working for them. Affordability and the economy is the number one issue in the country. And too often, Democrats are not perceived as being focused on affordability and the economy and the middle class and people aspiring to the middle class and their economic concerns.
It's interesting. New York, one of the most expensive places in the run, one of the most expensive places in the world to live, run by Democrats for decades and decades and decades. I'm just saying. Meanwhile, Sunday Morning Futures with Maria. Jason Chaffetz, our friend who joined us last week, was hosting the show. He and Senator Mark Wayne Mullins talking about the big, beautiful bill on the border wall.
First of all, what we're going to do is actually complete the wall. The last time that President Trump started the wall, obviously you saw the Biden administration come in and just wreak havoc on it and sell the material at pennies on the dollar. So the first thing we're doing is we're actually putting this into law by putting $46 billion to finally complete the wall all the way across our southern border.
Meanwhile, Matthew Whitaker, who's, I believe, the ambassador to NATO, came on Sunday Morning Futures and talked about the latest on Iran.
Iran should come to the table and should sue for peace and should make a peace deal with the United States, with Israel, and just say no more. We want to be in the world where people seek prosperity.
He also went on to talk about the Golden Dome, which is part of the big, beautiful bill, the missile defense system over the United States.
An interesting thing that's going on right now worldwide is that air defenses are at a premium. They're low availability. And the United States, having just passed this one big, beautiful bill, demonstrates through the, you know, this acceleration of the Golden Dome air defense and missile defense program that ultimately we get it and we're going to continue to be the world's preeminent superpower, and we will protect ourselves and our citizens.
You know, one thing to think about with the big, beautiful dome, the Iron Dome, David Sling, the Patriot Missile Systems, is missile systems get more lethal, and hypersonics are now being introduced, and the Chinese are working on hypersonics. The U.S. is working on hypersonics. To be able to defend yourself against some of these type of missiles, you're going to have more missile defense systems. So we'll see when the Golden Dome is deployed over the United States of America. Meanwhile, on Fox News Sunday, Scott Bessent came on the show to talk about, again, the big, beautiful bill.
What we saw was this mass unfettered immigration across the border, whether it's 12 or 22 million people who came in, suppressed working people's wages. And for 20 years, the big lie was that this kind of immigration didn't hurt working people. Now, economists have come out and said, oh, what a surprise. Even the laws of supply and demand work in the low-end labor market. So I talk about in that editorial what I call parallel prosperity, that for years Wall Street has done well. Now it's time for Main Street to do well, and they can both do well. And that's the one big beautiful bill. That's the beauty of this. It helps Wall Street and Main Street.
Now, the biggest winner last week was Speaker Mike Johnson, who got the big beautiful bill through the House, over to the Senate, back to the House, into the president's desk by July 4th. He signed it during a picnic with military members, active duty personnel, celebrating the 4th of July at the White House. Here's Speaker Johnson.
They're expecting 4 million additional jobs to be added. The average American, the typical American household, will have $13,000 more in take-home pay. This is a great thing for people who go to work every day, and they're going to feel that. What we did in this bill is we made permanent the 2017 Trump's tax cuts, and that was geared for lower and middle-class Americans.
And that is Mike Johnson talking on Fox News Sunday. And that's the best of the Sunday shows in case you missed any of them over the 4th of July weekend. Coming up, news, traffic, and weather. Gary's working on headlines. We'll continue to update you what's going on in Texas with the floods of the tropical depression hitting the Mid-Atlantic and the deadline for tariffs coming up this week. But we'll have news, traffic, and weather for you. And then after the bottom of the hour, I want to get to and start talking some politics and talk about the governor's race. And I want to know from you. In fact, you can start sending in your text messages right now, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, on the James River Air text line. I want to know what's really important to Virginians as you decide who you're going to vote for governor. What's really important? What are the issues that matter to you right now in the Commonwealth of Virginia? Start sending in your text messages. Let me know. 833-804-1140. I'm Rich Scherrera. This is News Radio WRVA.
You're listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Scherrera on News Radio WRVA.
Oh, I better be careful when I ask for the smoke. I knew I'd get it, but I didn't think I'd get it this hot and heavy this morning. What are the big issues facing Virginia this morning? I really want to know, because we're going to start talking more in depth about the race to see who's going to take over for Glenn Youngkin and move into the governor's mansion. And will it be Abigail Spanberger? Will it be Winsome Earl Sears? To you, I want to know, Virginia, what is the most pressing need? What are you going to look at when deciding who to vote for governor? Give us a text on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Hey, quick reminder. The Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge is holding a blood drive this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're located at 5500 Bethlehem Road here in Richmond. They're teaming up with the American Red Cross. It's a community blood drive at the Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge coming up Saturday, June 12th from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Thanks, guys, for doing that. Hats off to the Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge. We'll continue with you. It's News Radio WRVA. All right, we continue with you here at 7:35. What's really important to you in Virginia? What's the most important issue that will decide who you vote for governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia? The 4th of July weekend is over. The fall will be here before you know it. We get to November, and right now, you need to decide who's going to follow up and move into the governor's mansion now that we're getting to the waning days of Governor Youngkin, Governor Glenn Youngkin, his term is just about over. So now we have to decide who do we have to lead this Commonwealth for the next 4 years. And it's very interesting because a couple things. It's very unique to Virginia. So, Dan, you grew up here in the Commonwealth. This is not unique to you. You grew up with a gubernatorial election every 4 years.
Yes, indeed. First Virginian in my family and proud of it.
Okay. You're used to having an election every year.
Yes.
Okay, that's not the way the rest of the country rolls.
No, not at all. Okay. There are very few states with off-year elections.
So you get, in the other states, you get a respite from the ugly political ads that we get in Virginia year-round, every year. Also very interesting. And my by the way, my son's visiting from Arizona. He's a political science major, so when we were going around this weekend to Monticello, and we went to Mount Vernon, and we were walking through the museums, walking through the houses. He was pointing out to me that one of his classes almost extensively covered Virginia politics because we have so many anomalies that we think is everyday normal stuff. The rest of the country looks as an anomaly that we have a split ticket. In other states, you have a governor and a lieutenant governor, and they're running on the same ticket. Here we have a split ticket where you cast one vote for your governor, one for your lieutenant governor, one for your attorney general, and you could have a Republican governor and a Democratic lieutenant governor, and they could be at odds. So correct. You normally don't have that in a lot of places. So he's actually going to come on if I can wake him up. It's still early for him. And we ran pretty hard all weekend visiting all these different places, and we're trying to squeeze in as much as we can the week that we have together. But he was talking about that in his state and local and government politics classes, Virginia is a lot different than most other places. So they studied Virginia politics pretty hard last semester.
Hmm.
So we're going to get him to come on and talk about it. But for us here, we have to decide, and both of these tickets are – have challenges. I'll put it to you that way. You're Abigail Spanberger. You're running towards the middle. Your commercials say, I am the most bipartisan member of Congress. I work across the aisle. I work with everybody. She's running down the middle. The rest of her ticket is rather far to the left in Hajmi and the attorney general candidate. On the Republican side, you have Winsome Earle Sears, who has a record with Glenn Youngkin to run on, but she's not aligned with the rest of her ticket in straight up and down. And we've seen the friction that we have between John Reed's campaign. We've seen the friction we've had between the lieutenant governor. We've seen Winsome Earle Sears, and nobody's embracing everybody, all three candidates up and down the Republican ticket. So both tickets have some challenges as we get ready for the general election. So I want to know, what's the most important thing to Richmonders and those of you in Central Virginia? What are the issues that you want them to talk about? What are the issues that you're concerned about? What are the issues that they need to be aware of and tackle? What are the stances that you're looking for in our next governor? And listen, this is WRVA. I understand that we're going to have a few Democrats that are going to be chiming in, and I welcome all of them. I know it's going to be a lot of conservatives chiming in. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from everybody today. What are the big issues that we have in our Commonwealth that you want to know the stance of the governor? What's going to be what's going to cause you to vote for one side or the other? Or more importantly, what will cause you to vote against one side or the other? Because these are campaigns that, for the first time in America, because we're so divided, there's times where we vote for people, and I've always voted for someone. Very rarely have I voted against someone. But I think in America today, we do have people that vote against the other party or the other candidate. So what's important to you is what I want to know this morning here on Richmond's Morning News. Give us a text message on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Here's a little bit from Abigail Spanberger, and let's hear what she has.
Virginia, this is important. House Republicans just passed their so-called Big Beautiful Bill. This isn't just a threat of a bad bill passing. It is now an impending reality. Every single Republican who voted for this bill, which includes every House Republican elected from Virginia, should be ashamed. Right now, more than ever, Virginians need leaders who will defend access to affordable, high-quality health care, who will defend our hospitals across Virginia. And Virginians need and deserve a governor who will speak out against these attacks, not hide in silence. As your next governor, I will never be afraid to stand up for your health, your safety, and your prosperity here in Virginia.
So that's a little taste of what we're going to get, maybe, from Abigail Spanberger as we go into the general election. The one thing the Democrats are going to run on is against this big, beautiful bill, and what they're saying is the threat to rural America's health care. Now, does she run on something, or does she run against the current president of the United States? And that's where the Democratic Party has got challenges right now. The Democratic Party has to figure out, what are we for? We know what they're against. They're against Donald Trump. Can they find something they're for to rally people, or will they be voting against? Will you be voting against Donald Trump by electing Democrats, or will you vote for something because the Democrats are going to give you something that they want to accomplish? Now, meanwhile, on the other side, here's a little taste of what we're going to hear from Winsome Earle Sears.
Hi, I'm Winsome Sears, Lieutenant Governor of Virginia, running for governor. And you see this vehicle? My husband and I, we paid it off a long time ago. But we are in business, apparently, with the government, because if you don't pay your car tax, you never own this car. But let something happen to your wheel, and God forbid, the check engine light comes on. The government doesn't help you, does it? No. So we want to get rid of the car tax. I know you want that too, because you're in business with the government too. You elect me for governor, we're going to tear up that car tax. That's what this bill is. No more.
So Winsome Earle Sears wants to run on, and I think this is what we're seeing shaping up as her big issue. She wants to get rid of the car tax. Jim Gilmore tried and got pretty far, and then some Republicans crawfished on that, and some Democrats came in, and they peeled that back. It's not as bad as it used to be, but there is still that car tax that we have out there that I think it's universally hated by all Virginians, but we can't seem to wean ourselves off of that. So I want to know if Abigail Spanberger so far is saying, hey, I'm going to, at least in this soundbite, I'm going to campaign against the big, beautiful bill and against Donald Trump. We've already seen some other Democrats talk about we're campaigning to stop Donald Trump. If that's what they want to hang their hat on, Abigail Spanberger is going to go along with that direction. Does that appeal to you? What do you want to see her talk about? What do you want to ask her about? And on the Republican side, for Winsome Sears, is the car tax enough to get you off the couch to vote Republican? What do you want to know from the Republican side? So what's important to you, Richmond? What's important to you, Central Virginia? And we're going to use this when we get feedback, and we've invited both candidates to come on. We've invited the both gubernatorial candidates, and we'll invite the lieutenant governor candidates as well, and the attorney general. But right now, we're working hard to try to get Spanberger and Sears to come on the program. But I want to know from you today, what is the most important pressing issue for the Commonwealth of Virginia? Send us a text message, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Is voting for Spanberger running on, we're going to stand up against Donald Trump enough to get you off the couch to vote? Is Winsome Earle Sears talking about eliminating the car tax enough to get you off the couch, to get you up to vote? What's important to you? 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Want to hear from everybody this morning. Is again, hey, it's on now. We are past July 7th. We're going where the fall's going to be here. Virginia Tech, Virginia football is going to be starting before you know it, and it's going to be hot and heavy with one of the two gubernatorial elections. Money's going to come pouring into the state, and you're going to be inundated with television ads like you've never seen before. So what's really going to cut through the noise, and what appeals to you, what appeals against you? 833-804-1140. I want to know this morning. We'll read the best text messages here on the program. Coming up on the program, Mike Emanuel is going to talk about the big, beautiful bill. How did they get it through, and what's next? Now Donald Trump has got his legislation through on a partisan vote. Mike Emanuel, Fox News, joins us at the top of the hour. Gary's got an update coming up as well, all right here on News Radio WRVA. All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. This is News Radio WRVA. Rich Herrera with you, Richmond's Morning News. We are going to run out to the WRVA Newsmaker Hotline. Joining us right now, friend of this radio station, friend of this program, Mike Emanuel, Fox News, Chief Washington Correspondent, our guest here on News Radio WRVA. Mike, good morning.
Rich, how you doing, pal?
I am good. I am good. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Before we get to the big, beautiful bill and everything going on in Capitol Hill, I just wanted to touch on what's going on down in the Hill Country just outside of San Antonio, some of the most beautiful parts of the country. You worked down in Texas before joining Fox News, and I know this was, about 3 hours away from Waco where all this is taking place, and I know you reported on it all weekend, and I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, the Texas Hill Country starts outside of Austin and runs down towards San Antonio, and so I had worked in the Austin market as well at one point, and I remember, you know, there were warnings from meteorologists and stuff like that about flash flooding when, you know, heavy concentrated rain would come, and, you know, you'd have to be careful around streams and stuff like that, that possibly it could rise up and potentially, like, sweep away a car. But this is like nothing I've ever seen, and people I know in Texas have ever seen. And my heart aches for these families. I mean, you take your precious little girl to church camp to be with her friends, to learn about faith, and to hear that, you know, she may have been swept away in the middle of the night in a horrible storm. And I had one of the counselors, a young woman, on yesterday on TV, and she just gave a riveting account about, you know, the young girls were awakened by the hearing the storm outside, and they were nervous and anxious, and then at some point the counselors made a decision that we need to walk out of here to get them out of here, and lining the kids up and walking them out and seeing the devastation around their campground. And thank God that young woman and her kids survived, but it's just devastating. And I've heard from a lot of people back in Texas who know people who are posting pictures of missing young girls, and it's just devastating. And so my prayers are with those people, and God bless them.
And I thought, and I listened to it, I was actually in the car listening on Sirius XM to you on over the weekend, and I heard that report, and you made it actually come alive. You made it three-dimensional for me, because as we were talking about these counselors, we didn't realize that these counselors are just kids themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, she's a young woman who had gone to the camp, I think, 6 years as a camper, and now she's in her third year as a counselor. And so this Camp Mystic was really a second home for her, a place that she loved to go every year. She knew the director very, very well, a gentleman who was swept away in the flooding trying to save the children. And so it was just very moving to hear her accounts, and I was thrilled to be able to talk to her because that means she's alive. But for those other families, I cannot imagine what they're going through, to be wondering about a small child that, you know, they dropped off at summer camp.
Yeah, incredible, incredible. The other big thing that you were talking about this weekend is the big, beautiful bill.
That's
being
right
on Capitol Hill, watching this thing move through, and I laugh because I go back to Schoolhouse Rock. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Right.
Give me some of the intrigue that got this thing to the finish line by the 4th of July deadline.
Well, I think there's no question President Trump played a huge role. When the President of the United States is on the phone for you and says, I need this, and, you know, answers all your questions and then invites you to the White House to say, like, come on, guys, let's do this. We can do some other things later, but let's get this across the finish line. You know, it's his central legislative agenda. Obviously, he has tremendous influence. We've seen him in public, you know, selling the American people on things. Well, when he's one-on-one on the phone with you, I think there's no doubt he played a huge role. I think Senate Majority Leader John Thune and House Speaker Mike Johnson and their leadership teams deserve tremendous credit as well, because, you know, when you got elected officials from all across this country that have different constituencies, you know, it's hurting cats. I mean, you know, there are some conservative folks who definitely want to cut more, and I respect that. There are some moderate folks who are in districts that could go Democrat, you know, quite frankly, in next November. And so they've got concerns about preserving, you know, their jobs. And so to get them all to yes, except for, you know, a couple here and there, and get it across the finish line by that 4th of July deadline explains why a lot of those Republicans are on cloud nine. I actually ran into House Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday at the Fox studios. He looked like the happiest guy in the world, you know, got it done by the president's deadline. And remember, he had to get it passed twice. They had the original House version of the bill. They sent it over to the Senate, and then the Senate sent back a different version of the bill, which the House had to vote on again. So it was really like rounding up for two votes on a critical piece of legislation, but they got it done. And so I think, you know, all those guys deserve a lot of credit because that is not easy in this day's politics, and they got it done.
How tough was it? What kind of hurt feelings are there? Are there any big losers? I know Tom Tillis is not going to run for re-election for standing up for this. Yep. There's some other Republicans that are going to catch the wrath of their caucus for holding this thing up.
Well, I think Elon Musk looks weaker because, you know, he came out and threatened that he would run candidates against people who, you know, talked about cutting spending and then voted for this bill. And it didn't seem to scare anybody. I think they were like, you know, we got a job to do and we're going to get this done. And we'll see the political impact of it. I think this is going to be the central issue of next year's midterms. And may very well become the central issue of the 2028 presidential campaign. You know, I covered the White House when President Barack Obama passed Obamacare, and that was the central issue of the next several elections. Republicans were able to run on it. And so now it's really up to this president and his congressional members to get out there and sell what they believe works in this piece of legislation. If they don't, if Democrats are more effective at selling it, then we could see a Democratic speaker next election and perhaps a Democratic Senate majority leader, depending on, you know, which states are most at risk. But, you know, the stakes will be really high in next year's election, and so they need to be able to effectively get out there and say what this will do for the American people. And ultimately, it'll be about what impact the American people feel it has going to the polls next November and then perhaps in 2028 as well.
Am I over-exaggerating if I say that Donald Trump did go all in with the big, beautiful bill and the tax cuts? Because, again, this is either going to vault the Republicans to have a bigger majority for the second half of his presidency, or he can lose the House and the Senate and be a lame duck before he even gets to halfway through his term.
You're 100% correct, and I think the Republicans are blessed to have Donald Trump because he is such an effective communicator, particularly with his base. On issues, and so it'll be key that he gets out there and sells it. But you're absolutely right. The stakes are so high, and, you know, we've seen the Democrats, I would say, calling balls and strikes, not being partisan, but calling balls and strikes, I would say the Democrats have been effective in demonizing aspects of this bill so far. We'll see what ultimately the American people think, but, like, you know, they're talking about Medicaid cuts, and then Scott Bessent went on TV yesterday and said, you know, only in Washington, D.C., is a 20% hike to Medicaid over 10 years considered a cut? And that is so true for your listeners. When lawmakers in Washington and stuffed shirts in Washington talk about making cuts, they're only talking about cutting the rate of growth. They're not talking about, you know, in our households, you cut something, it may mean it's going away. But in Washington, it's only about, you know, okay, how much more is it going to grow from today's standard? And so, you know, they've demonized that. They've talked about rural health care being affected. I asked a bunch of Republicans about the Medicaid aspect, about the rural health care aspect over the weekend, and they insisted that it's not going to have a devastating impact on rural health care. Ultimately, we'll see what the voters in those places say as this bill is enacted and, you know, really kicks in about whether it's improving their lives or whether it's really hurting their lives. And the last point I'd make on that is that, you know, a lot of people love to cut government spending, but if it's like one program that you really like, then you get upset about it. And so, you know, that's politics, and we'll see how it all plays out.
So there's boy math, there's girl math, there's dog math, and there's DC math, where a cut really isn't a cut. It's just you slow down spending more. So now we figured all of that out. Hey, Mike, I want to ask you a quick question. I'm coming up to DC on Thursday and Friday. My son's in town. He's visiting. Yesterday we went to Monticello. The day before we went to Mount Vernon. We went to the Marine Corps Museum at Quantico. We went to Bucky's now that it's here in Virginia. So we're coming up to D.C. on Thursday. We're going to go to the White House, go on a tour of the White House on Thursday. We're going to go to the Capitol Thursday afternoon. We're going to go to Ford's Theater. What's something else that I need to make sure that I take my son to see while he's visiting?
Ooh, that's a good one. I love Air and Space Museum. There's one out by Dulles Airport, which is really big, and it's got a an old space shuttle there, and so that's always a crowd pleaser when we have people come to town. So that's great. The other aspect I would just say is if the weather's decent, is just walking around the National Mall, going to the Washington Monument, going to the World War II Memorial, going to see these various monuments up close and in person. It's really compelling and powerful, particularly for a young person. So, maybe those are a couple ideas.
Well, it's funny. He's 24 years old. I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to go to a baseball game? He goes, Dad, we've gone to baseball games in our life. He goes, I want to get my history nerd on, and I want to go see Thomas Jefferson's house, George Washington's house. I want to see everything. His big thing is he wanted to see Ford's Theater. So I said, we got 3/4 of the everybody on Mount Rushmore during this trip. So it's been fun. Beautiful. So far. So
great job, Dad. That's how you do it. Well done.
Thank you so much. All right. Hey, I know that you're busy. I'll let you go. Thank you for coming on with me, and I'll catch up with you real soon.
Rich, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, and call anytime.
Thank you so much. Mike Emanuel joins us here on News Radio WRVA.
This is Richmond's Morning News on News Radio WRVA.
All right, coming up, transparency in Richmond. Apparently it's not a thing when it comes to the firing of the Inspector General. We'll talk about that. TheRichmonder.org has a very compelling article. We'll bring that up coming up next. You don't want to miss it. It's going to make you really get hot under the collar. That's next here on News Radio WRVA. All right, is this another case of, whatever, it's Richmond? Or is this something bigger? I'm Rich Rare. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on News Radio WRVA. Our friends over at TheRichmonder.org, real journalists, real news, nonpartisan. It is far from a right-wing leaning website. It is far from a left-wing leaning website. It's right down the middle, and they go out of their way to make sure that everybody knows they're giving you the news. They let you decide. And they really have picked up this void that you have right now in city politics and getting down to the truth of the matter when it comes to what goes on in City Hall here in Richmond, Virginia. And Graham Mumma put out a piece over the weekend. I think he put this out. Today's the 7th. So he put it out yesterday, last night, about Richmond politics, Richmond City Hall politics. And it's something that we've talked about on this program quite a bit. And I'm going to urge everybody to read this thing that Graham has put out. And we've had Graham on the show before, and I'd love to be able to sit and talk with him about him. We invited him to come on the program. Hopefully we'll get him on in the next couple of days. The headline says, Richmond cut a deal to get its inspector general to leave. It's so secret, officials can't even say it exists. And the byline on the Richmonder.org is by Graham Mumma. So the basic premise of the story is that when Richmond City Council had a vote to fire former inspector to part ways with, and I'll just read it from Mumma's piece. When the Richmond City Council chose to part ways with the former inspector general, Jim Asuna, earlier this year, there was no public vote or discussion of why the city's public watchdog was suddenly leaving his job. Behind the scenes, the city made a deal with Asuna that includes secrecy measures so sweeping they permit both sides from even disclosing the deal exists, according to a series of responses to public record requests by the Richmonder. That's disturbing. That's disturbing to me. And he goes on to talk about people, the executive director of the Coalition for Open Government. But here's where I'm going to tell you, I've got a problem with this. And I think the mayor has a problem with this as well. And Danny Avila ran on transparency. And one of the reasons why Richmond needs transparency is because, and I could tell you right now, as soon as we open up the James Rivera text line, in fact, we'll open it up right now for you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Are you surprised that it's so secret nobody knows? Is this just Richmond city politics as normal? Is there something more to this? Raise your hand if you believe that Richmond city politics is on the up and up. Raise your hand if you think there's full transparency and everyone's held accountable and there's nothing going on, no shenanigans, no waste, fraud, abuse, or corruption within Richmond city government. Raise your hands. Let me count them. I don't see anybody in this room where I am. I'm not sure about you, but I think there is a perception, if not reality, that there's something amiss at Richmond City Hall. It's culture. It's mainly culture. I guess that's the best way to put it. That's gone on that way forever, and this is just the way we do business here in the city of Richmond. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So we could go to the P cards. The abuse, the waste, the fraud, the abuse that we've seen in the P cards. Now we can find, now we're starting to find out the inspector general found that there is some waste, fraud, abuse with the city gas cards. In case you missed this, there was $40,000 of fuel that they can't figure out where it belongs to. And the way it works is, and I actually talked to my brother because my brother, works in local government, not here in Virginia, but in California. So he said, hey, when I've got my gas card for work, and he actually just got a big promotion. So we're very, very proud of him. And he has a gas card. And he's getting a gas card and he's going to have a vehicle. When he goes to put gas in that vehicle, this is how they do theirs. Goes to put gas in the vehicle. He has to write down the mileage of the vehicle that he's putting gas in and identify the vehicle, puts the gas in, how much gas did we put in, and then he turns that in, and then the next time he puts gas in, he puts the mileage, and he puts the amount of fuel in. That's how a lot of gas cards work. And that way they could tell, hey, by the way, you only drove 10 miles, but now you're buying another 16 gallons of gas. That doesn't compute because they know what the mileage of the car should be. They know how many miles you drove. So if you're just putting gas in for your buddies on the county gas card or the city gas card, they're going to find out pretty quick. And everyone has their own PIN number when they put in the gas card. Well, apparently there was somebody in the city gas card that had all these people. He was lending his PIN number to everybody else to use that pin to buy gas. So now you can't track it because all of a sudden this guy's got charge after charge after charge after charge after charge on his pin for gas. It's one of the no-nos that you're not allowed to do in the company gas card, whether you have a private company, public company. If you have that gas card, it's for you, your use only. You got your pin, can't share it. That's how they track it to make sure you're on the up and up. There's things like that that go on in Richmond City government. The inspector general found out about some of this stuff, and we've seen some people that had to leave because of the inspector general's report. Then all of a sudden, there's a closed city council meeting. Boom, he gets fired. Okay, why'd he get fired? From the get-go, they've told us, well, it's an HR matter. We can't talk about it. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I get there's HR issues, and HR issues mean that's a human resource thing. There's privacy laws. We can't talk about that. 100% get it. But when it comes to something like the inspector general that was investigating the P cards and the gas and everything else, and we know that the citizens of Richmond and the people of Central Virginia look at City Hall in Richmond with a jaundiced eye, and you have a mayor that ran for mayor and won on transparency. You owe it to the people to tell them why this happened. You owe it to you got to have some sunshine in here. And the fact that they have lawyered up and that they've wrapped this all around an HR agreement that they won't even admit they have one sheds absolutely no light on what's going on with the Inspector General, why he was terminated, why he was forced out, and why nobody will tell us what really is going on. Did he kick a rock over that he wasn't supposed to? And there's more waste, fraud, and abuse than we ever knew? Was it something he did? And because you can hide under that HR blanket of we can't say anything because we have a non-disparaging clause with him, and he's got a clause that he's not allowed to speak. So what's that do to for those of you in Central Virginia that really want to know what's going on with the tax dollars in the city of Richmond? Those of you that pay the car tax, wouldn't you like to know where your car tax money is going? Is it going to people abusing the P-card system? Is it going to people that are getting their friends free gas off of your city gas cards? Because remember, you're paying those tax dollars. But according to MUMA and Richmonder.org, no one is allowed to know. No one's allowed to find out. No one's going to say anything, and the city's hiding behind these non-disclosure, non-disparaging agreements. That's not good enough. Especially when you have people that look at Richmond City Hall and you have people that leave Richmond because they don't trust city government in Richmond. All of this does is exasperate it, makes it worse, and it gives a conspiracy theorist even more ammunition because you won't be transparent. And I don't think this is a mayoral thing. This thing has been going for a long time in the city of Richmond, and there's bureaucrats in the middle of this that just won't be transparent. Just refuse to be transparent. And until we get more transparency in the city of Richmond, we're going to continue having people go, you know what, do I want to live in the city? Do I want to live in the county? Do I trust City Hall? No, I'm going to go live in the county. You will start losing more and more people out of the city of Richmond because unless I can trust my city government, why would I want to live there? So for the members of the city council, I would like to have some more answers. And I think the people of Richmond would like to have more answers as well. Or, hey, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, just maybe, the people of Richmond go, eh, that's just the way we live. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, the number for you to chime in today on the program. All right, coming up, we'll have news, traffic, and weather. I want to get your thoughts on that. And then I'm going to invite my son Riggs on. I talk about him all the time. I think he might be awake right now. I want to get his impressions of my new home here in Richmond, Virginia, all the great things that we've seen, places we've been. And then this is an interesting perspective. He studies Virginia politics in his classes because we are so unique when it comes to the way that our government is set up here in the Commonwealth. We'll meet my son coming up at the top of the hour, all right here on News Radio WRVA.
This is Richmond's Morning News.
I kind of like the show. This new guy, Rich Herrera, isn't bad. You know what I mean?
With Rich Herrera on News Radio, WRVA.
Okay, from the James River Air text line, you guys know the number, 833-804-1140. I repeat, Rich, there is no way the city gave out P-cards and fuel cards without rules or instruction. It'd be insane, like giving a criminal keys to the bank. It's a total cover-up. 100% agree, but it also goes back to the culture. What do we allow? What do we allow? Do we allow this to happen? Is it something that the culture in city council in Richmond city politics that say, I know we have rules, you don't have to pay attention. It's okay. You can do this. Am I allowed to give it? If I work at a bar, is the culture, hey, we give away free drinks and nobody says anything. Or is the culture, hey, you give away a free drink, that's stealing booze, you're fired. How lax is the culture? And I think we found that it's pretty lax within Richmond city government. Somebody else says, Rich, this isn't a Richmond problem. It's a huge nationwide problem. All politicians are corrupt. From Jay. Jay, we're the ones who put them there. So is it on the politicians that are corrupt or is it on the voters that keep voting in corrupt politicians? It's not on them. It's about us sending them to represent us. We got to do a better job when it comes to deciding who to vote for. We'll talk about that. My son is visiting. We're going to catch up with him I'll tell you about our weekend, Mount Vernon, Monticello, and everything else we did as we celebrate the beginning of USA 250. All that coming up here at Richmond's Morning News on News Radio WRVA. You know, one of the reasons I was so excited to move to Richmond and join News Radio WRVA said, WRVA is getting ready to celebrate its 100 years of serving Central Virginia. And we're getting ready for USA 250. So the 249th birth of our country took place on Friday. Now it is the countdown to USA 250. These are things that if you grew up in Virginia, you're used to. You're in the third grade, you go to this place. When you're in the fourth grade, you go here. Sixth grade, you go to Mount Vernon. Fifth grade, you go to Monticello. Seventh grade, eighth grade, you go to Washington, D.C. That is one of the benefits of growing up here in Central Virginia. When I was a kid, I grew up. Third grade, we went to the beach. Fourth grade, we went to Hearst Castle. Fifth grade, you'd go see a Spanish mission. Sixth grade, you go to Monterey. Seventh grade, you go to San Francisco, and so on and so forth. And that's where I grew up. And we all have those regional spots where you take those class field trips. Well, for me, I didn't grow up having the opportunity to go to Mount Vernon, go to Monticello. These are just places that I've read about in history books. So one of the things I said is when I get here, I'm like, boy, I am going to go enjoy all of these pieces of history that we have right here within a day's drive. Now, I've also told you my son, Rigney, 24 years old, he's a senior at the University of Arizona finishing his studies, and when he graduates in May, he'll be joining the Navy as a commissioned officer. He'll go to officer candidate school and then go into the Navy where he, well, I'll let him tell you as he's joining us right now on News Radio WRVA. What's up, pal?
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I am doing well. We spent a pretty fun weekend. I was explaining to people that, you know, you're finishing school, you're studying what?
Oh, yeah. So I'm studying, I'm a political science major with a Chinese minor. So I pretty much have a recruit me sign for naval intelligence stapled to my back.
There you go. Oh, by the way, now that your Chinese is getting better, you've got a couple of phrases that I have one that I've shared on the air. The first one you taught me was?
Wo baba yo handato.
Which means?
My dad's got a big head.
Okay. And then you have a second phrase you've learned.
Wo baba de to tai dala.
Which means?
My dad's head is way too big.
say it one more time.
Wo baba de to.
Wo baba de to.
Tai dala.
Taidala. Well, baba de to taidala, which means?
My dad's head is way too big.
That's my money being invested for him to learn that in Chinese. But you could read and write Chinese now a little bit, right?
Not even slightly.
Are you getting better at it?
I'm getting better at it. The hard thing with Chinese is their writing system doesn't have an alphabet, so each word has its own character.
Gotcha. All right. With that being said, well, we had our meetup, folks. One of the things I said is, Rich, I kind of like the fact that you're rediscovering or you're discovering all these things that I grew up with. And I get to rediscover them, so keep doing it. So Riggs is visiting me for the week here in Richmond, and I said, all right, pal, what do you want to see? So we decided we went to Mount Vernon. We went to Monticello. We went to the United States, the National Museum of the Marine Corps up at Quantico. We went to Bucky's, and we drove by Woodrow Wilson's presidential library. So, you'd never been to Mount Vernon. For someone, yep. I'd never been to Mount Vernon. What was your big takeaway from going up to see George Washington's estate?
It's just it's because I've always heard Mount Vernon associated with Washington, so it always had that kind of legendary status for me. In a lot of ways, it was kind of like the first time going to Annapolis, where it's like you've heard about it, you've read about it, you've seen pictures, you've seen pictures in textbooks and history books and all this kind of stuff. And then to actually walk the grounds and you're like, wow, Washington actually like sat in this room. He planned out battles and sieges in this room. It's really humbling.
Because it's history coming alive. It's not just this mythology that you read. It's actual living, breathing person.
Exactly.
We also got to see, we also went through the museum of all the museum pieces. You were really taken aback by his epaulets and a couple of the swords we saw.
Yeah. To see like an actual piece of his uniform, like, wow, he might have worn this at Yorktown when Cornwallis sent his adjutant to surrender. Wow, he might have carried this sword across the Delaware. It's really, really cool to be that close to something so important.
Then the next day, yesterday, we went to Monticello to Thomas Jefferson's estate. What was your takeaway there?
That just how brilliant of a guy Jefferson actually was.
Monticello was absolutely breathtakingly gorgeous.
It was. I thought it was a much nicer estate than Mount Vernon.
Yeah. The dome and everything else in the house has more artifacts actually in there. In Mount Vernon, they're actually doing a major renovation right now because they're expecting to have so many people wanting to come through for Mount Vernon 250 as we celebrate USA 250. And then there was one piece of one artifact that you wanted to see if he had anything in the house and you were not disappointed in Monticello.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if everyone knows this, but Thomas Jefferson was the father of the United States Navy. Without him, we might never have had one, especially because there were guys like Hamilton who said, no, we don't want a standing military. It's too expensive to build. It's too expensive to maintain. But Jefferson really pushed for it, and so I was hoping that maybe there'd be something connecting him to John Paul Jones, and I was very excited to see that he had a bust in his dining room.
Of John Paul Jones, the father of the Navy, who's actually buried at the Naval Academy. The crypt is underneath the chapel there at Annapolis, and it was really neat to see that. All right. We're going to go up to D.C. I'm actually taking two vacation days on Thursday and Friday. We'll go to D.C. We'll go to the White House. And then you wanted to see Ford's Theater. That was the one thing like, Dad, that's the one thing I want to see.
Yep. Yep. The cool thing for me, this is my first time being in Virginia, and it's so cool to see that there's both American Revolutionary history, Civil War history, and so much of it all in the same place.
Yeah, that's a thing that, you know, when we drove by and we drove downtown and I showed them the War Memorial, we're going to go, I think tomorrow we're going to go to the Civil War Museum, right, and we're going to visit the War Memorial. We're going to go shooting this afternoon at Green Top, and we're going to see all these great things. We're going to the Navy Museum on Wednesday afternoon, and you said that's over near the Navy Yard, White House tour, Capitol tour, and it's for the two of us, we're such history nerds. This is like the best vacation you've ever had.
100%. I mean, I told you, I think it was Saturday when we were driving up to Mount Vernon to pass a road sign for Manassas that was when it like really hit me for the first time. Like, wow. Like, sorry, I grew up reading academic history of the Civil War, so I always learned it as the Battle of Bull Run, but I know down here it's the Battle of Manassas, which was two of the like major battles of the Civil War. So to see that it happened right there was astounding.
One last thing. You and I were talking a lot about Virginia politics, and you study, since you're a political science major, you study a lot of Virginia politics out on the West Coast. Explain why.
Yeah. So last semester I took a course on state and local politics. So we looked at how different state governments are organized, how their elections are run, how policy is implemented, all of that kind of thing. And for each topic, we used different states for case studies. And a lot of the time we used Virginia as our case studies to look at different things. State constitutions, elections, things like that. And Virginia is a very interesting one because it's organized kind of differently from a lot of the other states.
How so?
Well, most states kind of differ from each other on like one major aspect, and it seems like Virginia differs from them on every aspect. So take gubernatorial elections. Most states have the governor and lieutenant governor run on the same ticket. There's a few outliers, Virginia being one of them. So we were looking at, so the governor and lieutenant governor run on different tickets. They run independently from each other. Or we looked at state constitutions. And out west, you know, you have younger states, so there haven't been as many constitutions or amendments. And then you look at a state like Virginia, which is one of the oldest. And if you compare it to the other states on the East Coast, a lot of them have had multiple constitutions over the years. Virginia is one of the few that's running on the same constitution since its statehood. So Virginia has like 20 billion constitutional amendments. I don't remember how many, but it stands out as having one of the most constitutional amendments of all the 50 states.
All right. Well, I'm going to come pick you up. We're going to Ucrops to get fried chicken for lunch. We're going to go shoot a green top. We're going to have lunch. We're going to have dinner with your cousins this afternoon that live here in Richmond, and then we'll see the rest of our tour. People are telling us that we need to make sure we go to the Holocaust Museum, which is here. I think mm-hmm. we need to go back down. We kind of drove by and looked at Capitol Square. Maybe we'll do that, and we'll see as much of Virginia as we can while you're visiting me for the week.
You nervous about shooting today?
I'm a better shot than you are.
I don't know. Last time we went, I outshot you.
No, I don't think so. We'll see. I'll report back tomorrow. All right. I'll come pick you up in a little bit, pal. Get your homework done.
All right. Love you.
I love you, too. I'll talk to you later, pal. My son, Rigney, kind of reviewing our trip. We also went to Bucky's. I would tell you about Bucky's, but we don't have enough time. It was crazy. It was awesome. I can't wait for them to build the one in New Kent. Anyway, coming up, traffic and weather and the dumbest thing you'll hear today, plus our national anthem, all coming up before we send it over to Bill O'Reilly right here on News Radio WRVA.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera on News Radio WRVA.
All right, couple things. Oh, I wanted to pass this along to you. Unlike when people tell me about great things in the community. So the Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge is having a blood drive Saturday, July 12th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. They are located at 5500 Bethlehem Road in Richmond, Virginia. They're going to be working with the American Red Cross to have a blood drive, and they even have breakfast if you come by and give a blood donation between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. So please support the Tuckahoe Masonic Lodge and the American Red Cross as they have a community blood drive coming up this Saturday. Let's see. A couple other people said, give me some great places to look at. Over the weekend, as we go up to D.C. again, I'm taking Thursday, Friday off, a couple of vacation days to spend with my son up at our nation's capital, looking around at some of the sights and sounds. We're going to go to the White House. We're going to go to the Capitol. We're going to look at the Rotunda. We're going to go to Ford's Theater. We're going to go to, of course, we have to go to the Navy Museum and Arlington as well, and then we'll see what else we can find in there. I told him I want to take the double-decker tour bus and do the tour of D.C. as well. So that should be fun. That's what he wants to do as a vacation. I said, hey, you want to go to a baseball game? You want to go to an amusement park? What do you want to do? He goes, I want to see history. So we live in the greatest spot in the whole wide world to see American history. So we'll be doing that all this week as well. All right, coming up, we'll have our national anthem brought to you by Freedom Services and Training, the biggest little gun store in town, located in Mechanicsville. Today's rendition of the national anthem will be by the Combined Service Academy Glee Clubs. All that coming up here on News Radio WRVA. Oh, great text message this morning from my friend Jan. Although Jan, I want to be your friend, she said, I need to go. Hanover Courthouse and the Hanover Tavern, where George Washington actually slept. She was an actress in a company that performed at the Tavern of the Past, so she had to know all the history. It's on my way up to Washington. All right, Jan, thank you. I think Rich, we might have to check that out. Yes, sir.
The Hanover Tavern is fabulous.
Okay.
It's great.
I think we might have to have lunch there on our way up to the Navy Museum after the show on Wednesday.
And I already recommended something else off of 301 to your son while we were talking off air.
What's that?
George Washington's birthplace, which I believe is called Wakefield.
Okay.
And Brian Kilmeade, I think, has been since I last went, because he and I were talking about it. When I went 12 years ago, it was like a police chalk outline where the house used to be. It's like, this is where George Washington's boyhood home died. But yeah, no, according to Kilmeade, they've rebuilt the home. But I told your son, it's a very profound experience to go there. It's right on the banks of the Rappahannock, and it's kind of more subdued than a Mount Vernon or a Monticello. So,
Dan, can I correct you briefly?
Oh, go ahead.
You said Wakefield. I believe it's Westmoreland.
I think that's where it is, but I think the actual, like, I could be wrong.
Isn't Wakefield's down on 460.
Yes, the locale is, but I think that the estate of the plantation was called Wakefield.
Oh, it was
yes,
called
you're right.
Wakefield. I thought you said in Wakefield.
No,
I was thinking about Tim Wakefield, the knuckleballing pitcher in Major League Baseball.
I'll double check that, but it's in Westmoreland, you're
it's
right.
It's in Westmoreland, and it may be called, I just want to make sure people aren't getting mixed up with the Wakefield.
Yeah, it's not off of 460.
Which is off of 460 where you get your peanuts, where the Virginia Diner is.
Okay. See, look, all this great stuff that we're going to do this week. We did hit Buc-ee's.
That's right.
We hit Buc-ee's. It was crazy getting it out of there.
Give it a month, it'll go down to normal busy.
This is how busy it was, guys. You know, they have the big signs out there, you know, beware of traffic, you know, don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, the V dot signs are over the top of the freeway.
Right. Somebody very clever writes those signs.
Yes. V dot actually had congested traffic ahead, Buc-ee's opening.
Oh, wow.
So you know that if VDOT's telling you there's going to be traffic backed up because Buc-ee's opened, you know it's on for real.
Wow.
And Gary, I've been to Buc-ee's before. They're always busy. Like, there's 120 gas pumps at this Buc-ee's.
Jesus.
You know, I've been to the ones, and you know, it's the size of a Publix grocery store. It's the size of a Publix grocery store. But I had never been in one that was that frantic, that much energy, that many people. And they'd put out sandwiches. They've got like 18 guys back there making sandwiches. They'd put them out, gone in 2 seconds. It's like, you know what? The closest I could think of is when they put out the new bread at Golden Corral. Neither one of you have been to Golden Corral, so that's...
I've been there, but it's been a while.
Dan and I don't walk lockstep on everything, but in that, we do.
I like Golden Corral. Although I've taken rigs to
you. What's funny, I was at Golden Corral just a couple weeks ago to speak to a group of retired coaches and officials, high school football thing. You remember the day I left early?
Yeah.
And I didn't even eat. I got there and talked to them and left. It was like, you know, didn't have time, so... Anyway.
I think there was a brawl that once broke out at the one over down here on Broad Street.
Yeah, over the
Tony Kornheiser reported about it.
Yeah,
on
over the rolls.
Of course, they said Henrico instead of Henrico.
Well, good. Know. That way, nobody knows it's right.
Exactly.
Here. But I am grabbing rigs. I told him we'll go to Ucrops for fried chicken today.
Good call.
So he was very excited about that.
Yes, you could eat every day for a week at the Ucrops Market Hall. Get something different every day, and it would just be outstanding.
Oh no, I go and then. If you ever want to be nice to Jeremy, Jeff Katz's producer, he loves the wedges. So sometimes if I go, I'll just bring him extra wedges. And he's like, oh, these are the greatest.
How's just that
like
going that.
Just like that. Oh, these are the greatest. His voice cracks. He gets all emotional. They're that good.
Well, I hope you guys have a great day.
Yes.
You too, my friend.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. All right, let's get out of here with our national anthem. It's brought to you by Freedom Services of Training, the biggest little gun store in town located in Mechanicsville. Today's national anthem is performed by the combined glee clubs of our service academies. Thanks, everybody.